facts.
Welcome to a discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. Objectivist perspective on rational self-interest, laissez-faire capitalism, and individual rights. Yaron Brook, Executive Director of the Ayn Rand Institute, invites you to the conversation. The Yaron Brook Show starts now on AM 560, The Answer.
Racism is evil. I mean, really evil. Everybody says that, but I mean it. I mean it. Categorizing people based on their race, treating people differently based on their race, no matter who does it, no matter whether it's the police doing it, no matter whether it's a lone gunman doing it, no matter if it's protesters doing it and calling themselves Black Lives Matter, treating people based on their race, identifying people based on their race, when it's not relevant, when it's not important, is evil. Is evil. I mean, the whole category of race is a bizarre one because, of course, we're all kind of mixtures and mutts. But collectivism, treating people as members of a group, is just wrong. Right? We should treat people, the whole principle of this country is to treat people as individuals, as individual human beings. Some of us are good. Some of us are bad. Some of us work hard. Some of us are lazy. Whatever, you know, some of us are smart. Some of us are not so smart. But all of those categories relate to an individual. And we should judge the individual accordingly. It doesn't matter whether that individual happens to have white, yellow, green, blue, black, brown skin. Skin color has nothing to do with how well they will perform at a job, whether they are more or less likely to be a friendly human being, whether they are more or less likely to be anything. Any particular individual has to be judged as that particular individual. Now, unfortunately, the history of this country does not affirm that. That's not what this country has done for since the beginning of its time, unfortunately, in spite of the fact that the country was founded on this principle of individual, on the idea that every individual has a right, an inalienable right to his own life, his own liberty, his own property, and the pursuit of his own happiness. In spite of that being in the founding documents of this country, we have not treated people this way. You know, the country started off with slavery. And in post-slavery times, we were just racist. Some of it was institutional. Some of it was not. But racism was prevalent in this country. And that went on right through the 1960s. You know, institutionalized racism in this country. I mean, I find it really horrific. Now, I'm an immigrant to America. And I've always idealized and romanticized America. And I came here because I still think this is the freest, best country in the world, in which people do, for the most part, treat each other as individuals, not as collectives, not based on insignificant characteristics, but based on the essential, the character, your moral character. That's what counts. Some people deserve to be treated badly because they're bad people. But that's a specific individual. Not a group. You don't get the characteristics of your neighbor because you happen to share the neighborhood with him, or you happen to share, you know, color of a skin with him, or some genetic makeup with him. Shouldn't even treat family members the same, who really share genetics with one another. I know families where some of the family members are great, some of the family members are downright, you know, bad, evil. You don't treat one family member based on what the character is of another family member. And yet this country is full, its history is full of treating people based on their skin color, based on their membership in a particular, I don't know, ethnicity, race, however you want to call it. It's all nonsense in my view. So we have had, this country has had institutional racism, particularly against Black Americans, from its founding. And yes,
We had a civil rights movement in the 1960s where we tried to get rid of that. But we did it badly. We did it badly because you don't cure racism with racism. Things like affirmative action and census and everything else, asking about your race and measuring your race and measuring how racists do against other races and measuring how racists vote and everything like that, has just institutionalized more racism. And I think what we're seeing today is the expression of that. Instead of seeking out a true colorblind society, a society in which we truly don't care about race, we turned everything upside down by insisting on giving special benefits. Now, granted, blacks in this country have suffered historically from racism in unbelievable ways. But the solution to that is not to penalize somebody because they're white. It's not to give privilege to somebody because they're black. It's to move our society towards true colorblindness. And I think as a consequence of our history and as a consequence of affirmative action and just the emphasis on race everywhere in our media, in our universities, you know, the quotas and everything like that, racism is alive and well in America. It goes in all directions. Whites are racist against blacks, but as we saw with the shooter just a few days ago in this tragic, horrific, evil incident in Dallas, it can go the other way. He was looking for white people to shoot, and he was looking particularly for white policemen to shoot. We'll talk about policemen in a little while. But clearly an act of racism. They were targeted for their race. It goes in all directions. Whites against blacks, blacks against whites, everybody against Hispanics, Hispanics against everybody else. Really? This is from the land of the free, the land of individualism. It's very disappointing. But I guess, given our history, inevitable. And given the great compromises of the civil rights movement, inevitable. Black leaders, by emphasizing so-called black rights or affirmative action and quotas and all this other stuff, have made this worse. Black Lives Matter, by making it about black lives instead of about general police brutality and about potential police racism. I'm open to the idea that too many police departments in this country have institutionalized racism in them. Certainly, again, if you go back historically to the 50s, 40s, 30s, there was a lot of that, and there's plenty of evidence that existed. I believe it still exists. You don't cure it. By attacking race, by dealing with it at the level of racism. And it's hard. It's hard to talk about these issues. And people take both sides, and people get upset, and people get, you know. But the fact is that we will not cure this until we are willing to be colorblind, until we are willing to recognize the ideal of colorblindness. But in our universities today, that's not what they teach. You're supposed to be racially aware, whatever the hell that means. I have no idea what that means. Now, I'm a white Jew, I guess. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means, that I need to be aware of what. What does awareness mean here? Right? Should I be aware of the fact that Jews are being discriminated against and slaughtered throughout history? Or should be aware of Europeans, you know, because I guess we were European. I don't know. The whole discussion is stupid. I don't associate with my race or ethnicity. I associate with myself as a human being, as an individual in my ideas. And my ideas should be judged and my actions should be judged, not the actions and ideas of people who are somehow similar to me. Similar in non-essential terms. Similar in terms that shouldn't matter one way or the other. All right. So we've gone through a tough week this week. Two police shootings that, you know, we'll see as the evidence comes out but at least on their face appear to be abuses of police power, you know, seem to be shootings of that are unjustified, but we will see as the evidence comes out, of black men. Of course, these are the ones that are highlighted, but they actually, it seems like the statistics show they happen at a higher frequency than one would expect. Now, there might be reasons for that. We can talk about that in a little while. But then a black man taking a high-powered weapon, killing five policemen, injuring, I think, nine others. Horrible, horrible week. Maybe this is, but this should be a time where we talk about these issues, where we discuss them, where we debate them, because it cannot get worse. I mean, it can't. We can't allow it to get worse, put it that way. All right, you're listening to the Ron Brooks Show. After the break, we'll keep on talking about these police shootings and racism. Talk to you then.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the North State Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Alex Dufresne, taking a look at traffic. It's a weekend of more festivals in the city. Taste of Chicago and Grand Park. You got the Square Roots Festival shutting down Lincoln between Montrose and Wilson. And the Millennium Arts Festival closes Lake east of Michigan downtown. Also, West Fest. That closes Chicago between Damon and Wood. Eden's Inn, Lake Hope to the Junction, half hour. It's 10 minutes less on the flip. Kennedy and O'Hare to downtown of 50 from the Junction 26, back out to the airport 37. I coming in from 53 at 50, back out at 38. Stevenson, inbound. The Ryan to the Drive, that's still completely jammed up. 355 to the Drive at 57 right now. Bishop Ford inbound at 130th. There was a crash and shut down the off-ramp. Well, it's back open, but the drive northbound between Stevenson and Jackson still stopped. 73 and sunny in Chicago. Tonight, 66 and clear. Tomorrow, 80 and sunny. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You wake up in the morning, and you want to know what's going on and what happened while you were asleep. You could grab your smartphone and wade through endless cat videos. Or you could listen to that other radio station, you know, that's talking about last night's ball game.
Winning records for starting pitchers matter anymore.
Or you could turn on Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson and get up to speed fast with the latest news, traffic, and weather on AM 560. The Answer.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Raj Shah, host of Secure Retirement Radio.
You don't have to go underwater anymore. You don't need to go down in that hole with your portfolio and dig yourself out. You can actually put a floor so you never go down ever again and get into a strategy where you just continue to make growth so not only that your principal is protected, but whatever gains you make, those are protected as well.
Tune in for Secure Retirement Radio with Raj Shah, Sunday mornings at 7 here on AM 560, The Answer.
Hey guys, if you are swimming in slapstick, saving your best joke for the right time, or if you deliver with drollery and laugh like a lout, then it's time for you to fly by night with me, Ken Cervera. Join me Saturday night at midnight for the last remaining true art form of laughter and comedy, featuring some of the country's most fascinating guests. Inflate your reality and laugh until you're nauseous on Fly By Night, Saturday night at midnight on AM 560, The Answer.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So we're talking racism, we're talking police shootings, we're talking shootings of policemen today. You can get in on the conversation by calling in 312-642-5600, 312-642-5600. 800-516-5600. What do you think about the state of racism in America today? Is the fact that America elected a black president, has that caused racism to decline, you think, to increase? It seems like there's more talk about race than ever. It seems like in the last 8 years we've moved further away from the idea of a colorblind society. Why? Call in. Let me hear from you. 312-642-5600. And what do you think about the police shootings? Is this just, you know, the police make mistakes, and they're just likely to make a mistake when it comes to if they stop somebody who's white, or if they stop somebody who's black, or do you think there is kind of institutional racism, or some of these policemen are just racist? And what about Dallas? Any sense, is the rule of law over in America? Are we getting to the point where we're going to start shooting each other in the streets when we disagree with one another? Now, just to set the stage, I want to bring some statistics in, just to, you know, take a breath, just to before we get all panicky and hysterical. I think it's important to realize a few things. All right, one, crime in America is at its lowest rate. Violent crime is at its lowest rate, since probably the 1950s. Violent crime in America is down significantly since 1990 when it peaked. Just to give you one statistic, in New York City, murders are down 85% since 1990, 85%. Now, there's been a recent spike, particularly in Chicago, where I know I have listeners for the show, and other places, in some other cities, there have been spikes. Most of the big cities in the United States last year saw a spike, and that might be continuing into this year. But still, violent crime rates, murder rates are still way lower than they used to be. So let's just remember that we live probably in the least violent era in human history, in spite of the terrorism, in spite of what's going on in the Middle East, in spite of all these problems, in spite of what happened in Dallas and so on. We are living in relatively peaceful time. There's more respect for individual human rights globally. Individual human life globally, not rights, life globally, than at any time in human history. So I think that's important to set a context, right? Don't get panicky. The chances of you being a victim of violent crime is probably the lowest it's ever been. Okay. Now, second, violence against policemen is at a relatively low point. Is at a relatively low point in history. I pulled up some statistics on violence against law enforcement. Let's see if I can find it. Yeah, here it is. Now, this is granted, this is before Dallas. So once we take into account Dallas, you know, but right now, annual use of firearms, where the police has gotten killed, is at the lowest level it's been in 100 years, in over 100 years. It's interesting because it kind of peaked at Prohibition. Prohibition, there was a war between the gangsters and the police, and a lot of police died. And then there's a period in the 1970s where it peaked. War on drugs? Prohibitions generally don't work out well for anybody. Right? So violence, firearm violence against police is at the lowest it's been for 100 years. And if you take into account per million in the population, the fact that we've grown, the population is much bigger today, not pure numbers, just per million in population, it's at the lowest it's ever been in American history since we started counting, which is 1870-something, right? So, again, perspective is important. It's depressing what happened in Dallas. It's infuriating. It's certainly depressing when you see policemen shoot people who don't seem to deserve to be shot. All that is horrible, and we'll talk about that, but I just want you to have perspective. We live in pretty peaceful times today. All right, we got a call from Noel who says that the history of racist in this country can't be ignored. And I agree with you, Noel. Hi, you're on the Yvonne Brooks Show. Go ahead.
Hey, all right, how you doing?
I'm good.
But just I am just listening real quick. I'm about to come in here. And I just want to say thank you first off for bringing up some truths about the history of the country, which I think is important to move forward, like I was telling the screener. And It's something that a lot of people refuse to do or even go to the point where being angry when the subject comes up or when it's being spoken about in any context. And unfortunately, it is happening. But I do agree that in historically, right, you know, we're a spoiled generation, as I like to say. But obviously we are very, very, we have a long way to go as a society together. And all of the labels is probably the beginning of the problems where you're, like you said, a lot of us are, we're all mutts. You know, at the end of the day, we're all human beings. And that's an important aspect to look at it as.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Absolutely. I mean, we're all individuals. According to our Declaration of Independence, we all have rights, equal rights. And we're all part of the human race. There is no race beyond the human race. We're all genetically mutts. All you have to do is take a genetic test and you'll find that you come from all kinds of places you couldn't imagine. And of course, we all came from Africa. All of us came from Africa. That's where the human race was born, and that's where we've all traveled from. So in many respects, we're all kind of cousins genetically. But Noel is right. Look, this country has a history of racism. And the first step, as you know, to get rid of a problem is first acknowledge it. We have a problem. We've had a problem historically. And it's important to figure out whether we have a problem today. Now, I don't know clearly how deep racism is in America today. It certainly exists. I see it on my social media feeds when the white supremacists come after me. For, you know, I recommended a movie, which I recommend to all of you. I would recommend a few movies about this topic that are interesting. But one movie I saw recently was a movie called Race. And it's about Jesse Owens. And it's about Jesse Owens running in the 1936 Olympics in Germany. And it deals with race. And race both as a race running, right? Race and in terms of race, racism. And the tweets and posts I got condemning me for recommending that movie are unbelievable. Unbelievable. Didn't imagine that there was that kind of racism. So it's out there. It's out there. Now, the question is it a minority? How prevalent is it within police forces? I don't know. But this is kind of information that's important for us. We have to recognize that racism in America today exists. And by the way, I include here racism of blacks against whites. I mean, there's now this new Black Panther Party, which is clearly a racist and anti-Semitic political party. And that should be condemned as well. And as I said, I believe that affirmative action and quotas and all these discussions about how many blacks are there on this and how many Hispanics are there and all of these just reinforce racism and should be named. Only when we get a good grip and understanding about these things can we evaluate the statistics coming out of police shootings and things like that. And the statistics, by the way, are very messy, very noisy, very hard to interpret, very hard to interpret. And interestingly enough, there have been very little kind of statistical collection or data collection about police shooting at any kind of level. The Washington Post now is trying to collect some of this data. Other people are trying to collect this data, but it's very difficult to collect the data and analyze it and figure out what is exactly going on. And are these shootings aberrations that just happen to be caught on phones? Or are they more systemic? But we have to recognize that given the history of racism in America, we cannot just out of hand declare that racism does not play a factor in what is going on in America today. We have to acknowledge the possibility that it does. All right. If you have an opinion about this, if you have an opinion about the role of racism in America today, 312-642-5600, 312-642-5600. And by the way, you know, if you're listening to the show, you might enjoy following me on Twitter. It's Yaron Brook, YaronBrook. Same thing Facebook, same spelling, same everything. So love to see you on Twitter, love to see you on Facebook. Also, if you're interested in Ayn Rand's ideas that I try to interpret, AynRand.org, AynRand.org. After the break, we'll talk about what happened in Dallas, the response of the police chief, which I think seems like a really good guy. And we'll talk more about racism in America right after this break.
There's a lot going on in the world.
A crazy election, international terrorism, a rocky economy, a state budget crisis.
Meanwhile, you're busy. Too busy to wait for some goofy talk show host at another radio station to finish talking about last night's baseball game or yesterday's viral internet video. You need information and what it means. Now, you need answers. That's why we're here with only the news, opinion, and insight you need. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. In Poland today, President Obama wrapped up his final NATO summit as Commander-in-Chief.
Speaking at the end of a NATO summit here, the President hailing relations within the alliance.
In good times and in bad, Europe can count on the United States.
But when it comes to paying for NATO, the President hinting at tensions.
So we had a very candid conversation about this.
The President saying everyone has to step up and do better.
Fox's Simon Owen. Tennis legend Serena Williams wins the women's singles trophy at Wimbledon, her seventh solo victory at the All England Club, the champ praising her opponent, Angelique Kerber.
You know, I love playing her. She's such a great opponent. She really brings out great tennis in me. And then once we walk off the court, she's such a wonderful person to be around and just to smile at. So thank you for being that great person.
Courtesy ESPN, the men's final is tomorrow. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the North State Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Alex Dupree taking a look at traffic in Downers Grove. Westbound lanes on Butterfield still closed at Findlay for a crash investigation. Police department expects this closure to be in effect at least until 5 o'clock. And remember, downtown, Taste of Chicago is in effect. Eden's in, Lakeland to the junction, 27, reverse at 22. Kennedy, you know, here's downtown, 40, it's 31 on the flip. Ike does have the problem inbound, Wolf to Harlem, everything stopped. So right now it looks like 53 on in is 53 from Mannheim, 39. Stevenson has some of the same. We're from Ryan to the drive on the inbound right. That's also completely jammed up and no movement. 355 to the drive at 57. Lakeshore Drive, two of its own spots. Southbound north to Chicago, northbound Stevenson to Jackson. No movement there either. It's 73 and partly sunny. Tonight, 66 and clear. Tomorrow, 80 and sunny. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com. The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering Rand's literary classics, specific aspects of thought, and how to apply her ideas to your life. Get started today at campus.aynrand.org. See you on campus.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-467-1443. That's 1-800-467-1443. 1-800-467-1443. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
No traditional conservative view, nor the standard libertarian ones. Welcome back to the discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. This is the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So we're talking about the evil of racism and just a general decline in violence. But what extent that violence is motivated by racism, the connection between violence and racism, that's our discussion for today. Feel free to call in 312-642-5600. We got a couple of callers on the line. I'm going to take them now before we move on. Let's go to Skyla in Delaware. Hey, Skyla, how's it going?
I'm doing well, Doctor. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you. What's up?
Just a question. Do you think that supporters of the Black Lives Matter movement think that the Black lives of the shooter matter, or people like the shooter? He was Black, so does that matter? Does that count? Does his life matter?
I mean, I think Black Lives Matter is a very mixed organization, and unfortunately, the people who dominated are these modern leftists, these what do we call the regressive left, which who are racists, who want people to identify with their race and to make a big deal out of racial issues, and I think that they are anti-white racists. Now, I don't think everybody involved in it is. I think some people who are involved in Black Lives Matter really want people to focus on the issue of, the fact that blacks seem to be, and again, the statistics are tricky, seems to be that unarmed blacks are more likely to be shot than unarmed whites, or that generally blacks are more likely to be stopped at traffic for traffic violations and other things, much more likely to whites. This, this case in Minnesota is an example of that. The guy was stopped for a taillight and the policeman drew a gun on him. I mean, that, I don't know exactly what happened. We don't know. So Black Lives Matter seems to have a real issue there. But unfortunately, it is led by people who have a much broader agenda, a regressive left agenda, an agenda that's anti-white, an agenda that's anti-capitalist, and they make a big deal out of the fact that they're anti-capitalist. And it's led by racists, and that I think is tragic, because I think the phenomena that they are addressing might be a very real phenomena. Does that make sense, Skyler?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so, it's a tragedy. So thanks, Skyler. Really appreciate the call. This is the tragic thing. The civil rights movement, and generally, which I think was a good movement in its initially, because it was a heroic movement, not just a good movement, a heroic movement, because it argued for or against institutionalized racism in America, and it was absolutely right. And they, the things that they did, and the odds that they faced, and the obstacles that they faced, they are clearly heroes. It is a tragedy that that movement has been co-opted by people who are racists, by people who want political power, not by people who want true equality before the law, true equality of rights, by people who have other agendas, philosophical, political agendas. And that is very, 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 very sad. Sad for the Black community. All right, let's take a quick call from Fred, who wants to challenge my statistical analysis. Hey, Fred.
Hey, Yaron. I just wanted to make a comment regarding the historical crime numbers that you had mentioned. Basically, you stated that murders are down, which is correct, but the number of shootings, especially in Chicago, is way up. And a lot of that, the murder may be down, but that's due to advances in medical science, saving people that years ago would have been a counted as a murder statistic. Now they're just a shooting statistic. And the same thing applies for police officers, that police murders are down. Many of those officers are living due to medical science advancements. And then also, officers are wearing bulletproof vests since roughly 1970s, 1980s, where during Prohibition, they didn't have bulletproof vests. In the early part of the war on drugs, they weren't wearing vests.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So we have to take into account, this is the problem with statistics. You know, everything else held equal, and of course nothing is ever held equal, but we always say that. Everything else held equal, which includes medical technology and Kevlar vests, which policemen wear now, which they never used to wear. Even in the 70s, they didn't wear it. It's really been just a phenomena, kind of a regular wearing it, kind of the from the 90s on. But if you look at general assault statistics, if you look at number of police shooting at policemen, where a gun is discharged and a policeman takes a bullet, those are down dramatically as well. So they're not as dramatic as homicide. They're not as dramatic as death because, as you said, medical technology just saves a lot of them. But they are still down. So, and this is true of violence generally. So if you look at the statistics about rape, about assault, about assault with a deadly weapon, about even burglary and things like that, all violent crime, and I think it's true of property crime as well, has been down dramatically since 1990. If you look at the homicide rate, I said now it's true that in Chicago over the last couple of years, violence is up. Now, unfortunately, Fred, I have to go for a break. But thanks for calling. And you're right, statistics. You have to be very, very careful on how you use statistics. But you know, we live in a pretty safe world. All right. This is the Iran Brook Show. We'll be right back after this break, and I want to talk about the Dallas police chief.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the North State Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Alex Dupree taking a look at traffic. Got some bad spots on the roads. The Edens, not one of them. Inbound, like close to the junction, 28. You flip it at 23. Kennedy and O'Hare to downtown at 40. Back out 31. But the Ike inbound between Wolf and Harlem, that's all clogged up, not moving. 53 on in is at 53 from Mannheim, 39. The Stevenson, not great inbound either, from the Ryan to the Drive. Another situation where it's just completely jammed. 355 to the Drive at 54 from the Tri-State, 43. The Shefford, outbound between the Ryan and 111th. Again, no movement. Lakeshore Drive getting in on this party. Southbound between North and Chicago. Northbound between the Stevenson and St. Jackson. Again, just jammed, clogged. You're just sitting there. And Jane Addams eastbound between Bussey and Toohey. Same deal, except there's an accident blocking the right lane. It's 73 and partly sunny in Chicago tonight, 66 and clear. Tomorrow, 80 and sunny. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
For 30 years, the Ayn Rand Institute has been on the front lines of the culture wars, introducing millions of students to Ayn Rand's books and ideas, educating young intellectuals who now teach at universities around the world, and speaking out in defense of free speech, free markets, free minds. You can join their battle for reason, individualism, and capitalism here in Chicago and around the nation by making your contribution today at AynRand.org/support. That's AYNRAND.org/SUPPORT.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Are you being denied credit? Are you paying high interest rates? At CreditRepair.com, we know life happens. Divorce, medical bills, student loans, and many other reasons why credit scores fall. That's why at CreditRepair.com, we're committed to helping folks get the second chance they deserve to improve their credit.
CreditRepair.com is actually acting as an advocate for me. Things that I thought when you paid them off, they were still on there. Things that I didn't even know were on, they were on there. But they got them removed. I feel they're doing what they said they'd do and beyond. I'm not going to abuse this second chance that they gave me. I'm in the process now of buying a home. CreditRepair.com actually does work.
We can help you get a second chance at great credit. The consultation is free and includes a free credit score and summary credit report. We'll review your current credit situation right on the phone with a game plan to restore it. Call 800-795-4800. That's 800-795-4800. Again, 800-795-4800. 800-795-4800.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So we're talking racism today. We're talking Black Lives Matter and the shooting, both the police shootings in Minnesota and in Louisiana, as well as just a horrific shooting in Dallas where five policemen lost their lives. And I want to get I'll talk about the Dallas police chief because I think he's I'm really impressed by what I've seen of him so far. But Jim wants to talk. He's Jim from South Elgin. I'll just mention a few months ago, I actually spoke at the South Elgin High School, spoke to a few hundred students there, and I was impressed. That was cool. So, hey, Jim, you're on the Yaron Brooks Show. What's up?
How are you? Is this a nationally broadcasted show or just here on WIND?
Well, it's broadcast in the Chicago area, and then it's rebroadcast later, and I think right now in Miami and in Denver, but, you know, we're hoping to become a nationally broadcast show.
Okay.
All the time.
This is the first time I'm calling in. So, yeah, I actually used to live about half a mile from that high school along the Fox River.
It's kind of an interesting location for a high school. Kind of in
It was part of the U-46 complex. It's so big they had to build another high school, but... Yeah. Anyways, yeah. You know, Black Lives Matter it doesn't matter if you're an unborn black baby. You know, there were stats in New York City recently, the last couple of years, that more black babies were aborted than were born. And, you know, so really the most dangerous place for a black kid is to be inside his mother's womb. And they never
thought. Well, I'm afraid we're going to disagree about this one, Jim. I'm in spite of, in spite of what people might think, I am very much pro-choice. I think the most horrific thing possible is for a mother, for a woman to have a baby she doesn't want, and she doesn't want to care
well,
for
Well, you know, there's a thing called adoption, and those kids at some point.
Yeah, but you have to, I've had two kids, and pregnancy is a huge thing. Not all kids get adopted. Some of those adopted parents, you have to take now responsibility for it. I have no problem with abortion. I don't think it's always moral, but I certainly think it should be legal. And indeed, you could argue that the fact that there are fewer unwanted babies in the world, coming into the world, there are fewer unwanted children who are raised badly and ignored and abused. I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing for the parents.
Well,
I think that's a good thing for the mother.
But, the problem. You know, the culture of death is alive and well, and you're seeing it with all these inner city deaths and stuff because life has no value.
Yeah, but I don't think that comes from abortion. I think that comes from the culture, from our whole economic, moral, political system that has institutionalized certain people into poverty, that has created this war on drugs, which is horrific, which is, again, institutionalized them into violence. I don't think it has to do with abortion. But you know what? I'd rather not talk about abortion today. We can do a whole show on it, and we will. And if you call in that show, I'd be happy to take your call and debate it for you.
Well, that's fine. I mean,
really,
but basically, too, a lot of people don't realize that George Soros, rather, recently funded Black Lives Matter to the tune of $12 million.
Yeah, I know.
And this is part of an international cadre of leftists that are trying to serve the pot. So this is not about Black Lives Matter. This is about communism on the march.
I agree with you. And in this, we agree. We don't agree on abortion. We agree on this. Thanks, Jim, for calling. Really appreciate it. I hope you keep listening and help me make this a national show. But that I agree with you completely. Black Lives Matter, you know, when I actually hear what they talk about, it's less about potential racism. It's less about these police shootings and much more about a specific leftist agenda. And an agenda, by the way, that includes racism, just racism from the other side. That is, identify with your race, be one with your race, and this is what's being taught by leftist professors at our universities. Now, at the same time, I don't want to diminish the fact that there is racism by whites against blacks out there. Unfortunately, all this exists, and it's a mess. It's a mess. And it's a disgusting mess. It shouldn't exist. This is America in the 21st century. Okay, in the 19th century, we had a civil war. 600,000 Americans died because of slavery. 600,000 Americans died because of slavery. You'd think that would have taught us a lesson enough, but no. After emancipation, we continued. We continued with institutionalized racism, primarily in the South. Uninstitutionalized racism in other parts of the country. And then we had a civil rights movement, a courageous, at least initially, well, throughout, very, very courageous, heroic civil rights movement that worked to try to eliminate institutionalized slavery and to a large extent succeeded, but screwed up at the end, was taken over by elements more interested in political power than in really doing away with racism. And as a consequence, we got new institutionalized racism, affirmative action. And because of that, we don't talk about race anymore. Or we talk about it in hushed terms, or we talk about it, you know, inappropriately, and we ignore the fact that it's still alive and well in America today. It's still out there. It's still there, and we need to deal with it. But the only way to deal with it, the only way to deal with it is adopting a colorblind perspective, enforcing a colorblind perspective. Now, today in America, when you get a birth certificate, they ask you your race. When they did that to me, I said, what is this, Nazi Germany? And I refused to tell them. And I had, you know, the nurse just filled something in. Why in a birth certificate is race relevant? In our census, they ask you for your race. How is your race relevant to a census? It's disgusting. It's immoral. It's racist to ask for race. I refuse to answer. And the census, you have to answer everything. And they you know, they would call up. And my wife at some point said, look, come arrest me. But I'm not telling you what my race is because it's irrelevant to anything. And plus, I don't know what my race is. The whole thing is a ridiculous notion. We need to wipe out race from any government document. All right, I still do want to talk about this Dallas police chief. It looks like we have another call. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very short break. You're listening to Yaron Brooks Show.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Rourke, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Rourke, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com.
Raj Shah, host of Secure Retirement Radio.
I believe not only in protecting your retirement and making the growth going forward, but also having a tax-efficient retirement as well, because you want your retirement portfolios to generate an income stream that will last for your life, for your spouse's life, and if you have kids, that will pass on to the next generation as well.
Tune in for Secure Retirement Radio with Raj Shah, Sunday mornings at 7 here on AM 560, The Answer.
Get your ears ready for Al and Marty.
Do you remember 1985, Marty?
Sure do, Al.
It was the year of We Are the World, the Cold War, ozone holes.
And two pioneering young men began their quest for world automotive domination.
That's right, Marty. The ultimate dealership is born.
Highland Park Ford Lincoln Superstore.
Too much?
No, a nice balance of pride and humility.
Humility?
Highland Park Ford Lincoln Superstore. Call 800-984-9000 or visit alanmarty.com.
This is Alan Marty. Deal with us.
Yaron Brook, executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, speaks to audiences around the world, promoting Ayn Rand's ideas in talks and books. Now, he's on your radio, here on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, we've talked about racism, police shootings, shootings of policemen, and even abortion. And actually, Keith wants to, I don't know why, Keith wants to chime in on the issue of the right to life. Hey, Keith, you're on the Yaron Brooks Show.
Yeah, hi, John. I'm a first-time caller, and I just want to say I support. I join you in your feelings about abortion. I think that it should be up to the woman, and I would like for the woman to identify the man by having some of his DNA available, and that way we could tie both people into the pregnancy that she's trying to abort. And that's okay, because fetuses don't vote. Yeah. And the use of the right to life in the political setup for the Republican Party is what is driven them into the hole. It is not a conservative position. It is a radical position.
I'm going to cut you off, Keith, only because I'm running out of time and a few things I want to say. But I really appreciate your call, and I agree with you. I think the Republicans have done themselves harm by making abortion the primary issue, and I think that the right to life is on the mother's side. That is, the mother has a right to her own life, which means she has a right to do with her body as she chooses, which means she has a right to abort the baby, the fetus. But look, we'll have a show on abortion. It looks like you guys want to talk about this, and it's good to find somebody who considers himself a conservative, consider himself on the right, and who is pro-choice. As I've told you, I think before, I don't consider myself right or left, because my opinions have nothing to do with right or left. I'm pro-individual rights. I'm pro the individual. If some of those issues fall on the left, some of those issues fall on the right. All right, let's do this. I want to talk about the police. We've got less than 2 minutes. Look. The police are essential. I'm not an anarchist. I believe that we have to have a police, a government, in order to protect our rights. And that, for the most part, they do a heroic job with it. But look, and they are placed in an impossible situation because of the war on drugs, because of all the stupid laws we have in the books, because of all the stupid laws that violate our rights on the books, they are placed in an impossible situation. Now, the Dallas police chief who's dealt with this shooting struck me as an incredible guy, right? And this is what he said. And this is about the police defending the demonstration that was anti the police. And like, how do you do that? He says, police officers are guardians of this great democracy. The freedom to protest, the freedom of speech, the freedom of expression, all freedoms we fight for with our lives is what makes us who we are as Americans. And so we risk our lives for these rights. Rights. Police chief talking about rights. So we won't militarize our policing standards. We are not going to let a coward who would ambush police officers change our democracy. We're not going to do it. Our city, our country is better than that. I say hooray, hooray for Chief Brown. I mean, for identifying the right for free speech, the right for expression, the freedom to protest as essential rights. It all comes from free speech, ultimately, those rights. So hooray for Chief Brown. Our condolences to all the Dallas Police Department, to the Dallas Police Force, to the families and everybody else. You've been listening to your Ron Brooks Show, and where we tackle some difficult issues. Hope to hear from you next week.
The Yaron Brook Show with your radical for capitalism host, Yaron Brook. Keep the discussion going. Log on to AynRand.org, your portal to the Ayn Rand Institute. Learn how to apply Ayn Rand's principles in your own life. And make sure you tune in next Saturday afternoon at 4 for another hour of dynamic Ayn Rand discussion. The Yaron Brook Show on AM 560. The Answer.
The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering